EASA certifies the Eclipse 500 with a catch. The FAA investigates Maryland medevacs. And why is that twin star landing at a truck stop? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 24th, 2008. One of the big reasons for wanting an aviation diesel has been shaken. The T-Lert Owners Group has seen a memo from ExxonMobil warning that the company does not support or endorse the use of its Jet A product in piston diesel engines. The letter was sent by ExxonMobil U.S. General Aviation Operations Manager Martin Tipple to distributors of Jet A on November 17th. Included was an indemnity agreement requiring suppliers to release ExxonMobil from any liability in cases of customers who put the fuel in their aerodiesel aircraft. ExxonMobil explained that regarding ignition point, the minimum cetane required to establish airworthiness has not been determined and is not even measured for jet fuel. The company adds its jet fuel does not meet applicable specs for the lubricating function diesels demand of their fuel, and that piston diesel aircraft don't travel at speeds producing friction heating of wing tanks, leading to a risk the fuel could freeze at altitude. In its letter, ExxonMobil throws responsibility back on the industry and the FAA to gain a clearer understanding of these issues. Until then, if you want to put ExxonMobil Jet A in your T-Lert, you'll be required to sign an agreement acknowledging you understand the issues and do it at your own risk. The full document is available in PDF format using a link at the bottom of the text version of this story at www.aero-news.net. Eclipse Aviation finally had something to celebrate Friday after a couple weeks of ugly news. The Albuquerque-based manufacturer announced it finally had in hand the European certification of the Eclipse 500 very light jet it has promised for a year has been imminent. The European Aviation Safety Agency's sign-off allows registration of the Eclipse 500 in any of the 27 member countries of the European Union, as well as 10 additional countries that abide by either FAA or EASA guidelines. CEO Roel Pieper said EASA certification, quote, enhances Eclipse's capacity to spread the global reach and impact of the Eclipse 500, and we expect many new orders from all over Europe, Russia, and Turkey to follow. EASA approval requires all Eclipse 500s operating in EU member nations to be equipped with the Avio NG1.5 avionics suite. Add-ons including a third mechanical attitude indicator and dual mode S diversity transponders. It does not allow commercial operations with the plane. That requires a separate approval, Eclipse says is expected, quote, in time to allow many air taxi services using the Eclipse 500 to be operational in Europe in 2009, unquote. Eclipse also announced Friday full FAA certification for the Avio NG1.5 avionics suite, which allows point-to-point RNAV and coupled GPS RNAV lateral navigation for the autopilot. Here's the catch. Only a handful of the roughly 250 Eclipse 500s built to date have Avio NG1.5. Customers have been promised upgrades, but the company is stalling on the upgrades for lack of money, just as it is for modifications required for flight into known icing. Eclipse reportedly needs $200 to $300 million to move forward with regular production. An investigation into Maryland's state police medevac helicopter operations, started by the Department of Transportation's Inspector General, has now been joined by the FAA. The Annapolis Capital reports Maryland is the only state in the U.S. with a statewide medevac fleet under central administration. The whistleblower who prompted the investigation is former medevac pilot Pete Peterson. He was fired earlier this month for refusing to give up maintenance records he says prove safety concerns. Neither the state police nor the FAA have commented publicly so far. Maryland spends $20 million a year to fly 12 helicopters based in 8 cities. In September, an audit criticized record-keeping and probed difficulties in retaining technical personnel. Later that month, a fatal crash during a medevac flight in bad weather killed 4 of 5 persons on board, drawing even more scrutiny. A study conducted by the Annapolis Capital in March revealed that about half the patients transported by helicopter have non-life-threatening injuries and are released within 24 hours. Maryland State Senator John Astill welcomes the FAA's joining the probe. He notes, quote, the state police need some people that know something about aviation, unquote. A lawsuit has been filed by former Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker, stemming from the September 19th crash of a Learjet at Columbia Metropolitan Airport in South Carolina. The Associated Press reports Barker claims the plane was improperly maintained and operated. and seeks damages for pain and suffering, disfigurement, loss of earnings, and medical and legal expenses. The suit names Global Exec Aviation, Clay Lacy Aviation, InterTravel, Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, and Bombardier as defendants. The lawsuit also claims the pilots were improperly trained and should have continued the takeoff instead of aborting it. Joining Barker in the suit is Thelma Martin Still, the mother of Barker's former bodyguard, Charles Monroe Still Jr., who was killed in the crash. Investigators believe the plane's crew was attempting to abort the takeoff due to a suspected blown tire when the plane careened off the end of a runway, killing four of the six people on board. Up next on ANN, more aerospace layoffs. NBAA jumps to counter negative spin on biz jets. And GM and Ford say they'll prune their aircraft fleets. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 24th. I'm Paul Plack. The hard times continue for workers in the aerospace industry. The Mobile Press Register reports Teledyne Continental Motors laid off 60 workers Thursday and Friday due to a sharp drop in the market for aircraft engines and parts. Company President Rhett Ross told the paper about 25 salaried workers were pink-slipped Thursday, and another 35 hourly workers cut before the close of business on Friday. The layoffs are considered permanent, although Ross says he hopes some workers can be called back if the market turns around. The layoffs leave roughly 440 workers at TCM's plant at the Brookley Field Industrial Complex in Mobile, and remaining employees were reportedly encouraged to use their vacation days as soon as possible. TCM reportedly plans to extend its normal holiday shutdown, idling most of its operations through the end of the year. TCM cut 20 workers from second shift production less than a month ago. Shuttle Endeavour astronauts spent 7 hours Saturday working on the International Space Station's starboard solar alpha rotary joint. Things were going so well on the mission's third spacewalk that they wanted to extend it, but mission controllers told them to call it a day. CNN reports that Heidi Marie Stefanishin-Piper and Steve Bowen have now cleaned about 330 of 360 degrees of the starboard joint and had wanted to finish that job before coming back inside. When they complete the task during today's fourth and final planned spacewalk of the mission, they'll move over and perform similar maintenance on the port side. Repairing and cleaning the joints and their bearings were a major focus of shuttle mission STS-126 after discovery of metal filings on the outside of the bearings last year suggested metal-on-metal wear. For months, the rotation of the solar array to track the position of the sun was disabled to avoid further damage, but the resulting reduction in generating capacity would have prevented full operation of the station, especially the Kibo module recently delivered from Japan. Endeavour and her crew also brought parts for a major expansion of the living space on the station and a water recovery system which recycles urine and sweat back into drinking water. The system has not worked properly because, after a couple hours, a centrifuge used in the distillation section has been heating up and hitting a speed sensor, triggering a shutdown. The crew has removed grommets which isolate the device from the equipment rack and hard-mounted it instead. Jay Leno remarked last week that the system means a shortage of water has been replaced by a new problem. Bad breath. All the negative coverage of the use of private jets by U.S. car company CEOs seeking federal bailouts last week has drawn a response from the National Business Aviation Association. NBAA says it has fielded inquiries from news organizations about what business aviation is and how it's used in the U.S. So NBAA developed an FAQ. Among the questions Aren't business aircraft used mostly by major corporations? Why would a company ever require an executive to fly exclusively on a company airplane? Aren't the planes used just for CEO transportation? You'll find more questions and answers that may surprise even people who think they know at NBAA.org. Look under the heading Business Aviation Issues on the main page. Meanwhile, taking the hint dropped last week by New York Congressman Gary Ackerman that their CEOs should have jet pooled to travel to Congress to ask for a bailout, General Motors and Ford both issued statements Friday announcing they'll reduce the size of their corporate jet fleets. GM spokesman Mike Myron says the leases on two of the company's seven jets were terminated in September, and two more were ended Friday, reducing GM's fleet to three planes to be used by, quote, only the very top senior leadership, unquote. Ford says its fleet is already down from nine jets in 2005 to five today, and those may now be sold. Chrysler had no comment on whether it has similar plans. Still ahead, NATCA thinks this Obama guy might be okay. Skydivers won't have to pack their chutes as often. And Canada forces airlines into a two-for-one sale. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, November 24th. I'm Paul Platt. President-elect Obama doesn't even take office till January 20th. But already, he's found a way to slow the pace of planned retirements by air traffic controllers. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association, the union that's been howling for years about imposed contract terms and inadequate staffing to replace retiring controllers, notes that as a senator in 2006, Obama sponsored legislation to strip the FAA of its ability to impose labor rules. The bill failed, and the rest is history, but union spokesman Doug Church observes controllers coming up on their retirement eligibility dates are already thinking it over. Quote, we're seeing a lot of controllers saying, you know what, I'm going to wait this out and see what happens next year, unquote. Giving them even more food for thought is a Wall Street Journal report that House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee Chairman James Oberstar will meet this week with his counterpart in the Senate, Jay Rockefeller, to push for airline industry consultant Dwayne Wirth as the new FAA administrator. Wirth is a former Northwest pilot, and from 1999 to 2006 was president of the Airline Pilots Association. But wait, there's more. The Journal also reports that former FAA Administrator Jane Garvey may be in line for Transportation Secretary and has resigned her position at Bombardier to join the Obama transition team. NATCA won what it now looks back on as a good contract for its controllers when Garvey was at the FAA in 1998. In related news, Debbie Herzman, a member of the National Transportation Safety Board, who rose to prominence as a spokesperson during a number of high-profile aviation accident investigations, including the August 2006 takeoff crash of Comair Flight 191 in Kentucky, is reportedly among the candidates to replace Mark Rosenker as NTSB chairman. The Parachute Industry Association and the United States Parachute Association are both praising a revised regulation published by the FAA Thursday, which allows skydivers and pilots who use parachutes an extra 60 days between mandatory repacks, up from 120 to 180 days. It takes effect December 19th, 30 days following its publication in the Federal Register. The rule applies to reserve parachutes worn by all skydivers and smoke jumpers, as well as emergency parachutes worn by pilots of aerobatic airplanes and gliders, aircrew members, and the growing number of military special ops jumpers using commercial off-the-shelf parachute equipment. USPA first petitioned the FAA for the change in 1998, but its initiative was rejected in 2001 for what the FAA found to be a lack of full industry support. Alan Silver, chair of the PIA's rigging committee, got discussions with the FAA restarted in early 2005, and the two groups working together got it done. Support also came from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, the Experimental Aircraft Association, and the Soaring Society of America. In justifying the extension, the FAA cited new reliability data from the parachute industry and other sources, which indicated that modern materials and construction techniques make it safe to allow parachutes to remain packed for a longer period. While some airlines have tried to charge obese people for two seats, things are going the other way in Canada. On Thursday, the Supreme Court of Canada declined to hear an appeal of a lower court ruling that obese people there are entitled to two seats for the price of one on Canadian domestic flights. The airlines are expected to develop a screening process to assess eligibility and will be required to implement the policy by January 10th. The Canadian Transportation Agency suggests following the practical experience of Southwest Airlines, which screens for the necessity of an additional seat by determining whether a person can lower the seat's armrests. But U.S. airlines are allowed to charge for that extra seat. The Air Carrier Access Act states, quote, "Carriers are not required to furnish more than one seat per ticket or to provide a seat in a class of service other than the one the passenger has purchased," unquote. Hey, I have a question. What if the flight is sold out and we don't find out until boarding that someone can't get the armrest down? Will Canadian Airlines be at liberty to bump one large passenger to free up space for two smaller and more profitable ones? And finally, the British recently got a dramatic example of the value of general aviation in our transportation mix. The BBC reports British, German, and Spanish doctors were ready to attempt the first ever transplant of a donor trachea, or windpipe, into a patient using stem cells to eliminate the need for immunosuppressant drugs to avert rejection by the recipient. The procedure used bone marrow stem cells obtained from the patient, 30-year-old Claudia Castillo, which were grown in a lab and merged with the donor organ. Surgeons used the cells to line the windpipe, effectively fooling Castillo's body into believing the trachea was her own, preventing rejection. There was one remaining problem. The lab was in Bristol, England. The patient and donor organ were in Barcelona, Spain. And unless the cells were implanted within 16 hours from the time they were removed from the growth media, years of work to achieve the breakthrough were at risk. Only one airline flies the Bristol-Barcelona route, low-cost carrier EasyJet. British scientists say they contacted the airline and made arrangements for the container carrying the stem cells to travel with a medical student. Officials add they followed up with the airline several times, but you guessed it, on the day of the flight, security wouldn't let the cooler through. And so, German med student Philip Jungerbluth, who was the courier, called a surgeon in Germany that he knew owned a business jet. Lead researcher Professor Martin Birchall agreed to cover the costs, about $21,000, and the plane arrived within 2 hours. Talk about on demand. The cells got there on time, the implant was successful, and 5 months after the June procedure, there has been no sign of rejection. EasyJet says it can find no record of any special requests made by the Bristol researchers. The airline says its decision to refund the cost of Jungerbluth's airline ticket was simply a goodwill gesture. The airline's goodwill, of course, stopped short of covering the costs for the private jet. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about the dangers of busting classy airspace and offer a couple tips for pilots preparing their holiday wish lists. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.